Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to fear your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
For great is your steadfast love toward me.
You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol.
O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seek my life.
And they do not set you before them.
But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.
Jesus Christ.
reign. O God, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your final judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you in perfect joy hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words.
I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise.
When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies.
I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments.
Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law.
At midnight I rise to praise you because of your just and righteous decrees.
I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts.
The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness,
For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the
resurrection of the dead,
and the life of the world to come.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from Romans chapter 8. I'll reread the first two verses. St. Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." This is our text. We Christians live within a particular tension. It's the tension of the now and the not yet. The now and the not yet. What do I mean by this? The now means that the kingdom of God has already begun in the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Jesus himself tells us, "Whoever believes in me has already," present tense, "has eternal life." His kingdom belongs to us. Right here, right now. But then there's the not yet. And the not yet confesses that we still haven't reached the consummation of that kingdom. we're still waiting. Still waiting for its full arrival, still waiting for its grand unveiling. And that's why we continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come, and come quickly, Lord Jesus." In Romans 8, St. Paul looks closely at this tension. He says that the entire creation participates in it. And you might ask, how are we to live in that tension? How are we to live through our present sufferings while also longing for the redemption that awaits us? Here's what St. Paul reveals. The Holy Spirit helps us as we live now in hope and as we wait eagerly for the not yet of creation's redemption. The Holy Spirit helps us now as we live in hope and wait eagerly for the not yet of creation's redemption. We can't miss what is already true now. Here are things that are true. Now has Christ paid for every sin on the cross. We have now been justified, fully justified by his blood. Now is Christ risen from the dead. Death no longer has dominion over him. Now is Christ ascended on high and seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling over his people, pouring out his Spirit. You belong to him. All of that is fully true right now and right here. But we don't see it. And that's the tension we have. It's true, but we don't fully experience it. Our lives aren't one big victory lap over sin and death. Our lives are rarely even a small little victory over sin or death. And St. Paul acknowledges this reality. He mentions it very clearly. He speaks about the sufferings of this present time. He says the creation was subjected to futility. He even says that the whole creation has been groaning, and that we ourselves groan inwardly. When you look out at the creation, or at your own created body and life, what kind of suffering and futility do you see? When you experience the creation beyond or in yourself, what kind of groaning do you hear? Jesus speaks in the Gospels about signs of the end. He says there will be wars and rumors of wars, kingdoms and conflict, earthquakes in various places, and famine. Perhaps we don't see those things when we look out at the creation, but I'm pretty sure I can tell you one thing that you've seen of this groaning creation this week. Smoke, fire, a red sun hanging over our land. We also see around us at times outbreaks of disease or droughts in different parts of the country, violence, upheaval, and instability. The creation groans. And that's what we saw when we had that thick layer of smoke hanging over us this week. The groaning of creation again. And of course, there's our own personal and individual suffering. You know what you're going through better than I do. But I know that we are no strangers to sickness, no strangers to death brought on by the fall. We also experience heartbreak with struggle and sadness, pain in childbearing, thorns and thistles in our work. And though we may not see it ourselves, we know that there are Christians around the world suffering persecution because of their loyalty to Christ. This is what St. Paul calls the sufferings of this present time. And they are real, and they feel deep and strong. And St. Paul says that these sufferings are not just our own individual sufferings, but they are bigger than us. They are the cosmic sufferings that we are undergoing. The whole creation has been subjected to futility, meaninglessness, purposelessness. Things don't work the way that they should, and things don't go the way that we would want. I believe that Christianity has the best explanation for why this is so. It's called Genesis chapter 3. The serpent came, and the serpent deceived Eve, and then Adam ate of the fruit, and then they hid themselves because they thought God was their enemy, and then the whole creation was subjected to futility because of Adam and his sin. The earth is cursed. It is not what it was meant to be in the beginning, not what God intended or made for it to be. And then along with that first Adam, there's our old Adam as well, our own sinful natures. St. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. The good that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. And what in the world is going on? And this is our sinful nature, subjected to futility as well. The whole creation is calling out for something better and something different and something new, and we ourselves feel it too. Many of you have heard me say it often when we have a funeral. I like to remind us that the reason death feels so painful is because it was never meant to be this way. So what do we do when we see this suffering, when we experience this suffering, when we hear the creation groaning? It is a call to repentance. A call for us to turn from same old in our lives. A call for us to fall on our knees and plead for his forgiveness and salvation in Christ. St. Paul says the whole creation groans. I suppose there's a scientist out there who might say that literally, if you had the right instrumentation, you could hear the earth itself groaning. I like to think of it as other things as well. You know, the natural world senses things that we don't. We human beings who were made to be aware and sensitive and responsive to the Creator, and so much goes on around us that we don't even notice. But the animals do. The birds, when a storm is drawing near, or other creatures when an earthquake is at hand, they're the first ones to respond. They hear the groaning of the creation, and they seek an escape. And we just miss it. The sufferings of this present time, we can't help but reflect on the sufferings of our Lord himself. I mean, what is the groaning of creation except the sun turning dark for 3 hours on a Friday afternoon and an earthquake taking place because they see the Creator of the world has been crucified? If you want to talk about futility, look at the cross, which to anyone at that day and time looked like the most futile and meaningless thing ever, including to Jesus' own disciples. Jesus underwent the suffering of this present time. He himself groaned inwardly while the whole creation groaned outwardly. And why did he do it? He did it to win for us a kingdom that will never perish. A kingdom, as we've already said, that is established now, but not fully seen yet. And all these things we're experiencing in the world and in our own lives, St. Paul says that these are like the beginning of the birth pains, the whole creation groaning together. Birth pains. A new creation is coming. That new creation is already in existence in Christ, but it is coming, and it seems often that when that time is near, that the pain becomes more frequent and more intense. Things get harder when the end draws close. That's why we experience these sufferings. We are awaiting the birth of a new creation. Awaiting eagerly the birth of a new creation. St. Paul uses that language so often here. The whole creation is waiting eagerly, and we ourselves are waiting eagerly for the new birth. What does it mean to wait eagerly? It means to be ready. It means to have our head up and looking around, knowing that the moment is near and could come at any time. You see, St. Paul doesn't say the whole creation curls into the fetal position and cries. He doesn't say that we ourselves, though we are groaning, he doesn't say that we are in despair. He says we wait eagerly for the hope of the redemption. And we have a gift that's been given to us while we wait. The gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul says that we have the first fruits of the Spirit now, already given to us. And I know sometimes we wish that the Spirit would sort of manifest itself in our lives more fully, make us feel his presence, make us see something miraculous. But we believe that we have the Spirit not because we are so amazing or wonderful in ourselves, but because Jesus is so amazing and so wonderful, and because he says it. The first fruits of the Holy Spirit have been given to us. And he is the one at work in us. He is the one in us creating the hope that we have, renewing us in that hope day after day after day. The Holy Spirit is the one helping us to endure the sufferings of this present time. The Holy Spirit is the one reminding us of the promises of what is to come. The Holy Spirit is the one, you might say, at work, bringing about the new birth in our own lives. We have been born again in Christ. That's what our baptism is, a new birth. And yet we don't see ourselves fully yet as that new creation, as we groan and struggle with our sin and our suffering. The Holy Spirit leads us to hear the gospel and to believe in Christ and to pray and give thanks and be sanctified in love and have hope and patience and comfort under the cross. And yes, this is very weak in us, but we do hunger and thirst for that righteousness. And St. Paul tells us the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It is the Spirit that is telling us that by what Christ has done on the cross, we are God's children now. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, he says. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. How many times has that happened to you? That in this present suffering, in the groaning of creation, you don't even know what to pray. You don't even know what to say. You don't have the words to call out to God. Your whole body and life is like a groaning prayer before him. And St. Paul says in those moments, maybe you had those moments this week, in those moments, do you know who is interceding for you? The Holy Spirit, with groanings too deep for words. Beyond what you yourself can articulate or say, the Holy Spirit is speaking on your behalf. And I can promise you this, what he has to say is so much more coherent and clear and true and good than what you or I can put into words ourselves. So here is one application for us this week, one thing that we can do. When we go through the sufferings of this present age, waiting for the glory that is to be revealed, and we'll talk more about that in a second, we can turn in prayer. We can ask for the Holy Spirit to help us pray. We can rely on the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of the great, as a down payment of the great new creation that is still to come. So turn in prayer And if you don't have the word, simply say, Holy Spirit, pray for me. Intercede on my behalf. You know what to say. We are not left to our own resources while we wait. We are given the Holy Spirit, and we are given the gifts of Christ, the things that he has won for us. Waiting is hard, and that's why we're here again. That's why we gather Sunday after Sunday, so we do not have to wait alone or simply remind ourselves or dig deep into our own lives to find the strength to endure, but because we need Christ coming to us again. He is the one who is faithful, and he is the one who helps us wait faithfully, and he is the one who helps us wait in hope. In hope. Hope is not some airy, fairy idea out there. It's not just, I hope this good thing will happen or that good thing will happen. When we speak of hope in the Bible and in the church, we are speaking of something that is certain and sure, simply not seen yet. It is ours in Christ. And that's why Christ gives himself to us again, why he pours himself out to us in his word, why he offers himself in his body and blood. Here is our hope that we have as a down payment to be realized in full when Christ returns again. When Christ returns again. Our present sufferings are real, but St. Paul says they are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. How short is our string on this side of eternity? And how long is that string on the other side? Endless. It goes on and on. The sufferings of this present time are short and they are small. Not in the way we feel them now, but in comparison to what lies ahead. And so we have the eager expectation and hope, like when a birth is being anticipated. The mother or the father waiting for that little one to come, perhaps waiting anxiously as that day gets closer and closer, and waiting eagerly. And that's how we are waiting and anticipating the new creation that is to come. And this is why Jesus in the Gospel of Mark gives a really curious statement. He says to the disciples that they are to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, which seems strange. We think of proclaiming the gospel to sinners, but Jesus says they are to proclaim the gospel, the good news, to the whole creation, because what Jesus has done is for the whole creation. This present creation, like our own bodies, will be set free from its bondage to corruption. And God will create a new heavens and a new earth. The groanings and the sufferings that we see and hear are not only the groanings and sufferings of the fall, but they are a pointer to the new that is coming. Soon it will happen. Jesus will return. And God will free all his children from their suffering. And with his children, he will free the entire creation, which is waiting for our adoption as sons. The whole creation is looking at us, waiting for what Christ is going to do in humanity. Adam was the one through whom the whole creation was subjected to futility, and now it waits, looking to the one Christ by whom the whole creation will be redeemed. And we too are waiting for the redemption of our bodies, when they will be raised from the dead on the last day, incorruptible, without sin, holy and righteous. In Isaiah chapter 44, God said that he alone is the true God, and there is no other like him. And the wonderful thing that we have is that we know the God who not only made the heavens and the earth in the beginning, but we know the true God who is able to make new heavens and a new earth as well. And we are eagerly expecting him to do so, and we are waiting in hope as we look to him. Our eyes are fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith. And the day will come soon, the day on which it will be said, "Behold, this is our God, returned in glory. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." When you see the signs of the end, when you feel the futility of creation, when you hear the groaning that it is going through, lift up your head and know that your redemption is near. Christ is coming, and he is coming soon. And until then, what God gives us now in Christ enables us to wait in hope for what is not yet seen, but soon will be, and is already ours. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding now guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy, send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy. Be with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in our Synod Convention, that all things might be handled according to your word, and that our common work might serve to build up our congregations and make known your Son, Jesus Christ, here and around the world. Lord, in your mercy. Provide for our sister congregations as they call pastors and other church workers to serve them. Mount Calvary in Acton, Lutheran Church of the Resurrection in Waterville, Hope in Bangor, Bethel Oromo, Trinity in Keene, and Grace in Nashua, that your will may be done among them. Lord, in your mercy. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Grant your blessing upon the schools of our communities, that they may be gardens of virtue, and prepare them for the coming school year. And grant wisdom and peace to Tim and Christine as they seek the best schooling and resources for their son Kyle. Watch over as well, we pray, all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Carrie, Jamie, Gail, and Jalen, and give them great joy at the time of birth. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings. Let all useful arts flourish among us, and protect all who travel, especially Michael and Nancy Jane. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Have compassion on Karen and Georgia in their recoveries, George with his upcoming surgery, Carrie as she undergoes testing. Look with mercy on all who have asked for our prayers, including Stan and Mary Lou, Judy, Hattie and her family, Brady and Christopher. Lord, in your mercy. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112, noon. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your just and righteous rule. I am severely affected. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my free will, offering to pray. O Lord, teach me your just decrees. I hold my life in my hand continually. I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me. I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit. Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Oh.